And we're not going to be in Romans today. We are going to be in Colossians chapter 4, making a little shift this morning. Colossians chapter 4. Does anybody know what Thanksgiving is? What Thursday is?
Yeah.
Guess. I won't tell you. Okay. Halloween. No. Thanksgiving is Thursday. It's later than it's been in years, and I'm still shocked it came so fast. I don't know about you. December is next Sunday. Some of you went, what? Yeah, December's next Sunday. It's crazy. So we're going to get into Christmas here at the church, right? We're going to be doing a Christmas series through the month of December. Excited about that. And then we'll be getting back to Romans in the month of January. But we're going to be in Colossians chapter 4 as we start reading in verse 2 through 6. And it says this. It says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. With an attitude of thanksgiving. Praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. Let's just pray that God would bless our time in his word this morning. Heavenly Father, put your hand of blessing upon this time, Lord, as we look to your word. We pray that you give us understanding, and Lord, draw our hearts closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thanksgiving. I don't know how many of you do it, but I hope you would, right? Do any of you go around the table at Thanksgiving and say what you're thankful for? Anyone? All right, so we've got three people that do that, four, five, maybe, I don't know. But that's always a fun little exercise, right? You go around the table, hey, what are you thankful for? And oftentimes, it's like pulling teeth out of people, right? You ever notice that? Some people have a natural propensity to tell you what they're thankful for in life, even if you don't want to know, right? You know those people, right? Hey, you know what I'm thankful for? No, I'm an introvert. No, I'm clearly not. If you know me, but some people do, right? They walk around sharing how they're thankful for everything. Other people, I think, really struggle with that. And what we have to do, I really believe this, and I think it's hit on here in Colossians chapter 4, is we have to develop within ourselves a discipline of thankfulness. Why is that? Because thanksgiving frames how you live. Not the day where we eat turkey, right? But thanksgiving frames how you live. And unfortunately, many of us get into this mindset of thinking often about what we don't have and what we wish we had rather than what we have and how we're thankful for it. Anyone struggle with that? So no one raised their hand on that one. I saw some elbows, though. I don't know what that was about. But we have a lot to be thankful for. All right, so we're going to take a poll of what we're thankful for. Some are going to be serious. Some maybe not. All right, so we'll start simple. Who's thankful for cheese? Anyone? All right, super spiritual. All right, I know. See, I said it would be simple. Who's thankful for a heating system in your house that works? All right. It's kind of funny. I look at someone that's laughing, and I know they just had that. Does it work now? Oh, praise Jesus. Okay. I wasn't thinking of you when I said that. Who's thankful for friends? Who's thankful for clothing. I am right now. I mean, for me and you. You know how they used to say, right? You ever hear it said in public speaking, if you're nervous, think about everyone in the audience being naked? Have you ever heard that statement? That's a terrible idea. I would literally close in prayer every week. No offense to any of you. That's a terrible idea. Who's thankful for food? Yeah, who's thankful for the farmers that produced it? Amen. Who's thankful for deer? Anyone? Deer meat. I mean, we could go on and on and on, but then we get into things that are less comfortable. Who's thankful for physical ailments? God uses those to shape our hearts some days. Who's thankful for trials? Who's thankful for those times when we don't have much, but we are just in serious need? It's hard to get excited about that stuff. Last night, actually, it's kind of funny. I was butt-dialed in the middle of the night. 2:47, actually. And twice by an individual. And if you're a pastor and you get phone calls at 2:47 in the morning, do you know what you think happened? You think someone's dead, right? I mean, that's or they're clinging to their life in the hospital, because that does happen. I was butt dialed, so I was thankful for a butt dial that it wasn't a real issue. But I struggle. I mean, sometimes I do really well. I do really well at looking at life through the lens of thanksgiving and saying, God, yes, I so appreciate, you know, fill in the blank, right? And some days we do so well. Sometimes we live in seasons of prolonged, God, what are you doing? God, I wish you would. God, I really could use. And it's hard to see what God is up to sometimes in the midst of those things. And we see as the Apostle Paul pens this letter, and obviously we're not going to read the entire book of Colossians this morning. There's a lot there, and it's an amazing passage of Scripture. I think it's one that at some point we'll have to just use as a series and go through the whole book. It's a phenomenal chunk of Scripture. But he understands, as he calls his readers to be alert with an attitude of thanksgiving, he is writing from a prison cell. Could you imagine that? I mean, it's easy to be an encourager when things are good, right? Things are going my way. Things are awesome. Just got a promotion. My wife likes me this week. Whatever, fill in the blank, right? It's easy. But we see this. He's able to write it because it's rooted in a very real way. So let's just read again verses 2 through 6 of Colossians chapter 4. It says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it, with an attitude of thanksgiving. Praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open to us a door for the word so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been in prison, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. Now, there's a lot here, right? But I've said this before, right? I've made statements such as if you look for something, you're going to find it, kind of thing, right? And I think we know that if you train your mind to look for reasons to be thankful, you will find them. If you train your mind for reasons to be thankful, you will find them. Unfortunately, the flip side is true, right? If we train our minds to look for reasons to be bitter, we find those as well. And it becomes a discipline. Disciplines aren't all good, right? You can discipline yourself to see what's wrong with the world, or you can discipline yourself to see how God's at work in the world, right? You can do that. And Paul hits this, starting with this concept of being devoted with prayer, and obviously there's much more to it, at the end of a book where he's writing to a church. These are some of his kind of conclusionary statements that he wants to say before he closes it out. But he says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert with it in an attitude of thanksgiving. And this verse just really grabbed my mind this week, just thinking about that concept of an attitude of thanksgiving. And clearly that's just pulling one statement out of a larger context. And so I started to read and look deeper at this passage of Scripture and think about where Paul was writing from. It really challenged my heart. Because I think we find ourselves quite often in a place where we are men and women who know we should pray, and we do. We do so not as people who are on the alert, and we do so not as men and women who are doing so with an attitude of thanksgiving. It says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, you've probably heard before. I know you've heard it from me. Be sober of spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. This is New American Standard. But what's the idea? He says, look, as you pursue me in prayer, do so on high alert. Your prayers need to be dialed into the reality of what's happening around you. Your prayer needs to be dialed into the reality of what's happening in the world that you live in. You need to have your brain tuned in to what's going on around you and to the painful realities that are happening in this world. Because as the Apostle Paul is writing this, and then this letter gets delivered, the church that reads it says, yeah, we are alert. And maybe, Paul, you should have been a little more alert yourself because you got caught and you're in jail for preaching the gospel. So they were very well aware that life was painful and hard. Here was a man that they loved, a leader that they so desperately wanted to be at their home church, their house church. And he says, look, you need to devote yourselves to prayer, but keeping on alert in it. Be aware of the realities of life that are painful. Be aware that Satan himself is on the move. He's on the attack, and he wants to take you out. But you know what? As you do that, as you sit down and acknowledge the painful realities of life, you ever do this? You sit down, you're like, okay, what's wrong with the world? I mean, maybe you do that just on your own. It's a fun exercise. no, not really. It's a long list, actually. But you sit down and you think about what's wrong with the world. Part of what happens is, at least in my head, is it's like a snowball that's rolling downhill, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and more frustrating and more frustrating and more frustrating. And the Apostle Paul says, look, as you consider the realities of this world and you have a very serious conversation with God about the realities of this world, you have to frame it in an attitude of thanksgiving, or you will be overwhelmed very quickly. It says, devote yourself to prayer, keeping alert over the realities of this life, and do so with an attitude of thanksgiving. Don't lose sight of the fact that even though this world is a mess, that God is still on the throne, that God is still good, that there are reasons that we can still pause and give thanks. Now, if we were to flip over just to the next book, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 is a really cool chunk of scripture. We lots of stuff in there, a bunch of little ones, small phrases and different things. But verse 17, it says, pray without ceasing. Verse 18, it says, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. Pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. That's kind of hard, because I don't know about you, there have been times where I've been alone with the Lord and I've been having an honest conversation, and the last thing I want to do is say thank you. Right? We be honest? Life is hard. Right? I mentioned that I was fearful over this phone call at 247. I made about 5 phone calls this morning and text messages, and I looked on the internet trying to figure out what went wrong. Like, it seriously got my heart going. Because why? Because I've been trained in life. That's how I live, right? Lots of tragedies. And I've that's just how I think. And it's maybe not healthy, but that's the reality of my life. And when you walk into these painful arenas on a regular basis, it's hard to carry with you an attitude of thanksgiving in all things, like 1 Thessalonians says. It's hard to carry with us, as we're on alert to the realities of this world, in our prayers before God, an attitude of thanksgiving some days. It's hard. Because if you're around enough, you're going to become very aware very quickly, if your eyes are open, if you're keeping alert, that there is pain everywhere you go. Why do we do Operation Christmas Child? Because there are children around the world that have never gotten a gift, ever. They've never heard I love you. They've never gotten a hug. They don't have shoes. They go to bed hungry. They walk 3 miles to find water that's not even clean. That's horrible. And I think it's easy for us to go before the Lord with the spirit of prayer, keeping on high alert, and just forget that we must carry with us an attitude of thanksgiving. Because if we do not carry with us an attitude of thanksgiving, we completely miss what God is doing around us. See, as overwhelmed as I become some days by the world that I live in and by the situations that I walk into and by the pain I see in the lives of people that I love, I have to also see that God is at work. We have to. We need to pray with an awareness that is rooted in the concept of thanksgiving. We have to be. And I know a lot of people that really have seemingly removed the idea of thanksgiving for anything out of their lives. Do you know these people? It's sad. It's horribly sad. And the people that do this make no real impact for the kingdom and for the cause of the gospel, because they seem to have forgotten that the gift of salvation is greater than anything. And if you are a negative Nancy or a Debbie Downer, if you're into the old skits on SNL years ago, maybe you're aware of those videos, I don't know. If that's you, that is revealing a spiritual void in your heart. That is revealing that we don't have an area of discipline that God expects us to have. It's everywhere throughout the pages of Scripture. We see it in the Old Testament. We see it in the Psalms. We see it in the New Testament in a constant call that you and I would refocus and reframe our brains. And why is the reason for that? Why? And I think that comes out in this passage of Scripture as well. It says, look, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert with an attitude of thanksgiving. Okay, that's good. Paul, we get that. He says, praying at the same time for us as well. That God will open to us a door for the word so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ for which I have been in prison. Paul says, I am literally in prison writing to you this letter. But that's not what I want you to focus on. Right? I mean, he could have said, hey, life stinks. Pray for us. From Paul. Enjoy Church of Colossae. Right? He could have said that. He didn't say. He says, no, look, here's what you need to do. Because here's what happens. You can keep on alert. You can pray. And if he skipped that sentence about the attitude of thanksgiving, it could have, I think, slipped into this darker place. But he says, look, as you are in an attitude of thanksgiving, here's what I want you to do. Because an attitude of thanksgiving will drive you and force you to look at what God has given to you as God's children. It will make the world bigger than you. It will make the world bigger than your circumstances. It will make the world bigger than maybe some hard things you're walking through, and it will make you focus on things like the reality of the gospel. I think a big reason we don't see the gospel transforming multitudes is because of self-centered Christians. More people in my life should be changing, but the days I forget about the gospel, guess what? They don't want it. I mean, let's be real. Right, but Paul says, look, here's the deal. I want you to be on alert. I want you to be aware of the painful realities of this world, but I don't want you to do it devoid of the concept of thanksgiving, because when you're thankful, you begin to look for opportunities to show off the love of Jesus, even in the darkest of places, because you realize that he is the only hope. He is the only way. He is the only truth. Paul didn't view his time in prison as an obstacle. He says, no, pray for an opportunity. Pray that I would be effective. Pray that God would use me. Verse 4, pray that God would reveal to me the way I ought to speak. And I just wonder if many of us just haven't thrown out the idea of thanksgiving because of the hardships of life. And the thing is, we aren't thinking of the ways we ought to speak because we really don't have anything worth listening to. I remember a season of my life a number of years ago where I felt like a drain on everybody I came in contact with. You ever live in one of those seasons? I had some good friends I remember I got together with. They were asking me how I was doing, and I had nothing to say. But, wah, wah, right, that was it. That's all I had. I had nothing. I had nothing in my heart worth rejoicing over, or so I felt. I just felt like I was done. I felt like I was exhausted. I felt like life was never going to change. I felt overwhelmed, underprepared, fill in the blanks, whatever you want to use. That was a very ineffective time in my life. And I was so focused on hard stuff that I forgot to be thankful for the good stuff. I was not looking for opportunities to share the goodness of God like Paul was in his jail cell. Rather, I was focusing on the walls of the jail cell. I was not praying that God would give me opportunities to share his love. I was wondering why, if God loves so much, I had to live that way. And that's a reality, right? Just being honest this morning, okay? But we must train our minds as God's children to be thankful in all things. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Again, because when we are thankful, we are aware that every situation is an opportunity, as the Apostle Paul was in this passage of Scripture. And a heart that isn't thankful views every situation as an obstacle. And look further. He says, look, because we are thankful, we look for opportunities. Because we know how good God is, we want people to know that good God. Because we are thankful over the gift of salvation, we want everyone to be able to experience the gift of salvation. Because we are thankful for the forgiveness of our sins, we want other people to experience the forgiveness of theirs. We want people to experience the joy, the hope that comes from knowing Jesus. We must pause and be thankful. May we never forget those things. But he says, look, because of this, I am actively pursuing opportunities to share the love of Jesus with others, and I am not seeing them. So I would like to employ you on praying the same for me. Then he says this, conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. Because of the goodness of God, because of the thankfulness I have, I think the Apostle Paul would say, because of understanding how great he is and how awesome the gift is and how much he's entrusted me with, I want to make the most of the opportunities that he brings my way. And that should be our prayer as well. Are you really concerned of how well you present yourself as one of God's children to the world you live in? Are you? And one of the ways we get back to that is through a spirit of thankfulness. When we sit down and we, maybe you're a journaler. I don't know. Are anyone a journaler? Some of you are, right? More of you should be. I mean, really. Writing is very therapeutic. Even if you're not a good writer. But it's very therapeutic. Some of you write, I went into my daughter's room last night. I thought she was journaling. She was doing a word search. But anyway, I was proud of her for a moment. I'm always proud of you. But anyway. But it is. It's a very therapeutic thing. And, we can see it actually in the writings of the Apostle Paul. Not that he's writing to churches for therapy, but as he writes, he is forced to put words on a page of how good God is. And some of you, maybe you need to pause and create that discipline for yourself. Maybe you don't need to write a letter. You don't have to write a prayer. Maybe just one word. It doesn't matter if you don't know how to spell them. If you're not great at writing, that's fine. Doesn't matter about your punctuation. That's fine. But write down some things you're thankful for. What has God done for you? What are some opportunities he's given you? How has God blessed you? Who has God brought into your life that are a blessing to you? Right? I mean, all these things, right? We need to get back to dwelling on the reality of the goodness of God and living out a discipline of thanksgiving, that I have reason to be thankful. There's no reason why we shouldn't be able to walk up to any brother or sister in Christ and say, what are you thankful for? It's much more effective, though, to ask what's wrong. Did you know that? If you have a prayer and praise night at church, you get way more hard prayer requests, and that's okay. Then you do praises. I mean, we're talking 1 to 10. Why? We don't live out the discipline of being thankful and choosing to see how God's at work. And truthfully, it should tilt the other way, because God is bigger. And it did in the life of the Apostle Paul, and he said, because I am thankful, because I'm aware of the goodness of the gospel, I'm aware of the responsibility that God has placed on my life, and I'm thankful for that, I realize that I have to take advantage of every opportunity that God places in my path. Thankfulness will drive you to live differently for the benefit of others. Because when you're thankful, you realize how good it is. And you want to share it. It's not good enough to just enjoy it yourself. Thanksgiving alone is not a lot of fun. There's a reason we invite family members. I mean, some we hope won't sit next to us. But if we're, no, I'm kidding. Maybe I am, maybe I'm not. Okay, but it's better together, right? When we're thankful and we've tasted something that's so good, we're like, you gotta try this. My wife recently discovered a new candy. She rarely shares it with me. She hides it, actually. But at one time, she said, you've got to try this. It's so good. You got to try this. This is amazing. And that should be the reality of what it is. When we find things that taste so good and we're overwhelmed with a spirit of thanksgiving over the goodness of our God, it should change the way we live. And we should say, hey, I want to share this with other people, and therefore it's going to drive the way I live a little bit differently, because I don't want to hinder their ability to get here with me. I want them here. I want to share in this. And he says, look, here's a couple things to keep in mind as you frame your life in thanksgiving, and you don't just pray for it, you live it. He says, conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Everybody you come in contact with should run through a little filter in your head that doesn't say they're messed up, what's wrong with them, why do they dress that way, why do they smell that way, I don't like their music, whatever it is, right? That filter is not God's filter, that's Satan's. Again, don't listen to the wrong voices, folks. But he says, look, what are you to do? Conduct yourself, it says, towards outsiders, specifically people that aren't in the church, that don't know Jesus, that don't live like they know Jesus. He says, conduct yourself with wisdom so that you can make the most of the opportunity. Why? Because you are so thankful over the goodness of who God is, you can't help yourself, but share it with them. You want them at the table. Don't blow it because you're unwilling to think before you speak. Right? I mean, how many times have we just blown it because, man, my goodness, there's not a whole lot of wisdom flowing out of this pie hole, right? If we're honest. And so many times we see somebody and they're offensive, or they do something we don't like, and we do something and it's either it's politically correct or it's not politically correct. Whatever it is, and it drives us crazy, and we forget that, you know what, this person doesn't have Jesus, but we really don't care because we're offended, because we're not thankful, because we're seeing what's wrong with the world instead. Look, if we don't live this way, we're going to render ourselves completely ineffective. Conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsider, doing what? Making the most of the opportunity. And you may only get one. You may only get one shot. And if you don't conduct yourself with wisdom, guess what? You're done. And that's reality. There are divine appointments that God sets up, and sometimes that's it. There are divine appointments that God sets up. Sometimes you get 12, 15, 20, 30 chances with an individual. But oftentimes you don't. Verse 6. So, because of an opportunity that God for... Bleh, can't read. Because it's an opportunity for God to be revealed, we are to conduct ourselves properly with wisdom and with grace. Let your speech always be with grace. Always. 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 Can we say always together? Always. 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 Let your speech always be with grace. Doesn't matter what they've done. Doesn't matter what they've said. It matters who you represent. As though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. There's no rote answer, right? You don't just have the checklist. I'm going to say this if they say this. No. Slow to speak, quick to hear. James chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 3. I'll read this real quick. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, it says, "But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that lies in you." Always be ready, no matter what it is, yet do it with gentleness and reverence. Gentleness and reverence. And so, I think trying to bring this all together. When I am disciplined in my prayer life, and not just on the alert to what's being wrong in the world, but aware and thankful that God has the ability to reach through what is wrong in the world and redeem that thing, it should drive me to not only just look at what God is doing, but look for other opportunities to have God work. And I should never be a speed bump to what God wants to do. And I believe it starts with thankfulness. Why do I become less concerned about my offenses and my hobby horses? It's because when I am focused on giving thanks to God and rejoicing in the gifts that He has given to me, I realize that I would rather share those gifts than these opinions. Which means every word that comes out is an opportunity to show off Jesus, which means I must exercise wisdom. Okay? I must exercise wisdom. And I must exercise grace. Why? Because making known the name of Jesus is more important than making known my opinions. And as thankful as I am to live in a nation where I can freely share my opinions, I should be more passionate about freely sharing my Jesus. And what I'm thankful for more will reveal that in how I live. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that each of us would live out our lives in a spirit of thanksgiving. Lord, we pray that each of us would just be so overwhelmed, not just by the mess of the world, just like the Apostle Paul, right? He could have easily been overwhelmed by the prison and the mess and all that was going on around him, but Lord, he so desperately wanted to share Jesus because he had so much to be thankful for. Heavenly Father, I pray that would be us. I pray that you would use us. Help us to be instruments of righteousness in a world that needs righteousness.